At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Emma Oli, Pop Rock Radio. Estás escuchando Jamie Rock de Pop Rock Radio. Manténganse al tanto.
Hey, the heavy hits on Sverige och ni lyssnar till Pop Rock Radio med Jamie Rocks.
Hey everybody, welcome to the show. This is the Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show, coming to you via Zoom. We're doing something a little different. We were having some issues on our other thing, but we're making it happen, baby. We're making it happen. Today, I am super excited because we're using Zoom, which is different. No, it's not why I'm excited. We've got a fantastic band on with us today. I really dig this band a lot. The fine folks over at Curtain Call Records sent me their press kit, their electronic press kit, and I was just blown away. I took a deep dive. I was watching all their music videos, and I am just a big fan now. Without further ado, I'd like to welcome the Kings of Karma. Guys, how are you?
Good, brother. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Man, we were just talking. Me and Chris and I were talking before we went on camera, as they say. It's a rough day. It's a rough day today in rock and roll. Yeah. I'm sure both Chris and Joe are feeling the same way I am. It wasn't, I guess the good thing about this is it wasn't out of the blue completely. It wasn't like super shot. Like, what happened? We all saw this meteorite coming towards the Earth. We knew, I think we were all hoping it would be a little more off than it is, but wherever you're at, Ozzy, rest in peace. And what was that famous Bowie quote? I'm sure it isn't boring wherever you are. It ain't now.
I'm just glad he got to do his final performance.
He got to go
amazing.
Out for all.
He went out like a boss, man.
He really did. He really.
He beat the odds constantly. We never thought Ozzy Osbourne would live this long. He didn't even think he'd live this long. So the fact that he even lived this long was just a feat in
testament.
Itself.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to speak ill will of anybody, especially the dead or anything. But, you know, it was almost like a gag there for a while. He'd slur his words, and you're like, what do you expect? Look at the life this guy's led, of course. I'm amazed he's as good as he is. But through it all, and I got to tell you, you look at other rock bands, I'm not throwing shade at anybody, but sometimes there's certain acts that have a hard time as decades move, time moves and tastes change, and the cool kids are doing something weird now. He did it all. He conquered the 80s. He had no problem dominating early MTV with the music videos and stuff. 90s come. Grunge is happening. Not a problem. He didn't do grunge stuff. He just did his shit. But everybody was like, yeah, that's awesome. The video is maintained. He really had a beat on it. And you guys know this as well as I do. I'm not in your game. I'm not in rock and whatnot. But when you hit the stage, there is, I'm sure you guys are yourself, but there are flourishes of stage presence that come out. If I'm doing an art show somewhere, I know my crowd at that art show don't want to hear about my business. They want me to be a weirdo painter. What were you thinking, Jamie, when you, I got really drunk and I can't really remember that night. I think there was a stripper involved. That's what they want. And I don't want to be the magician that shows how the trick is done. You know what I mean? And so I don't know if all of his public meanderings or whatever was genuine, or maybe a combination of both a little bit, because it just seems to me he had a pretty good handle on the business side. And really, you think about Ozzy Osbourne, and we're so obsessed today, our culture, especially we're smartphone driven and whatnot, scandals. When we're a lot of scandals. The last one I can think of is he bit the head off of a bat in 19, what, 83, you know what I mean? But there was no Lindsay Lohan-esque type scandals or problems that these young acts get into. He wasn't like caught Ozzy doing blow on a bat. Fuck that. Nobody would have been in the bathroom if Ozzy was in there. You never would have known about it. So
That's funny.
I like Ozzy Osbourne. I like him a lot.
Work, man.
Yeah, he's a
Huge, huge
huge
influence.
influence, man.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Huge influence.
I tell you, when I was a kid, I saw the Bark at the Moon tour and best concerts I've ever seen in my life. It was just bar none. Phenomenal.
The first concert that I had the pleasure of going to was the last time that Black Sabbath had an original
Nice.
lineup when they went on tour, the Ozfest 05. That was my first show I ever got to go to, and it was
Jesus Christ.
phenomenal. Phenomenal.
That was 20 years that you had to be. Yeah, you probably were, but 15, 14, something like that, a youngster.
Yes, sir. On the dot.
Nice. Nice. Concerts are great when you get to be my age. The last concert I went to, my wife, and bless her heart, I love her to death, but she's her latest obsession is Sleep Token, so she does get cool points for that. But she's one of my favorite bands is coming. They had one of these 80s revival where they have all the 80s acts come on stage and do 15-minute sets. And it's really sad. They had Katrina in the Waves, but it wasn't Katrina. They had to post it Katrina of the Waves because it was a lawsuit. It's just bullshit like that. And Boy George was hosting it. And Ace of Base was playing. And she goes, I loved Ace of Base growing up as a little girl. Gotta go see him. And I won concert tickets on a radio station for this. They're like, I was listening to the radio while I was painting, and they're like, we're giving away the concert tickets. Call this number. And so I'm like, I'll never win this. Are you kidding me? But I called it anyway and I won. And what a great present for her. She wanted to go. I don't really care about this shit, but she wanted to go. We get there, and there's 11 bands playing. Started at 6 o'clock, and by 7 o'clock, and it's just wall to wall people. We're in South Florida, so it's hot, humid. It was just a lot. 7 o'clock, I'm like, when's Boy George going out? We got to get out of here soon. It can't go on that long. She goes, Jamie, he hits the stage at 11. You got 4 hours to go yet. I'm like, God damn.
Nothing.
I wish I was 14 because 4 hours when you're 14 ain't nothing, no matter what you're listening to.
Oh,
Jesus.
I love when the headliner's done by 10:30, 11 o'clock, and then you're like, all right, let's go.
Oh, it's so sad. Getting old. Priorities change too. Priorities. Now, let me ask you guys are rock and rollers. You're fantastic. Before we even get into that, let's start at the beginning. Let's start at the beginning. I've never been in a band. I'm not a musician, but I hung out. That's all I hung out with growing up. So I picked a few things up. In my experience, usually how a band gets together, coalesces, if you will, is somebody has a brilliant idea. They want to start a band. And they look around the local scene and they're like, that guy is a bass player, man. We need him. Let me go talk to him. And people meet usually from other bands. Eventually, you'll find a drummer that's in 85 other bands, and hopefully, you can make that work. How did Kings of Karma, how did this happen? Because you guys are friends, right?
Yeah, no,
Best
you hit
friends.
it pretty much on the head, man. We've been playing together since we were teenagers. It's exactly how it happens. You're just like, oh, who plays drums? Oh, I know this kid, he plays drums. And then you're auditioning and you're just trying to grow as a musician and find other people trying to do the same thing. And if it all works out, you eventually just start a group.
Yeah. And then you get the girls. First, you start the group. Then you get the girls. That's pretty much why I hung out with musicians, though, I'll be honest with you. I remember I had a group of friends and they decided they were going to start a band. And they came to me and they're like, do you think you could come up with some ideas for the name of our band? I'm like, there's 12 of you. It's more of an orchestra. But hey, wait a second. All of you play guitar. Somebody's going to have to sing, somebody's going to have to play bass. What the hell's wrong with you?
Good luck telling that
Yeah,
to
exactly. They all were
a
like, no, I'm going to be the next Randy Rhoads. And they're all turning their amps all the way. I'm like, this ain't going to work. Now, I'm like, this is how Malcolm McLaren must have felt when he was trying to herd the cats of the Sex Pistols. It was, I couldn't do it. I'm like, you guys are on your own. But no, that's cool. There's something about, well, first off, as an art form, I've always been jealous and enamored with music. And I'll tell you why. Everybody in the world, at least every guy I know, can remember the first time they kissed a girl, like for real kiss, not your Aunt Tilly or whatever, but a for real kiss at a boy girl party or something. And they can all tell you what was music was playing in the background when that happened. It's burned into their brain, man. It's burned into
Yeah.
their brain. No one in the world kissed a girl and said, I really like that artistic print that was framed and hanging on the wall behind it. Nobody has any idea of that shit. You know what I mean? But the music sticks with people. And I'm jealous of that. You know, it's amazing. So you guys have been doing this since what? 2016, I remember reading, right?
Yeah.
And that's cool. That's
That's
cool.
not including the years leading up to that, to where 2016 is when we decided,
That's when Kings of Karma
you
started.
know what I mean?
I
This is gonna
got
be
you.
a business. This is gonna be a business. We're not just being in a garage band anymore. We're gonna try to get venues and take over cities and build a fan base and really put in the next 10 years of hustle. And that's 2016 is when it got finally taken seriously and we established ourselves. So.
Well, I think you guys are doing real well with it. It's phenomenal. I look at like I said, I've been watching all these music videos and I'm blown away. I'm blown away. It looks like, I'm like, this looks like a big budget. And maybe it was. Who am I to say? I don't know. But it certainly looks like a big budget
We'll never know.
thing. My point is, I'm saying I've seen bands with music videos where it's, yeah, this is in somebody's backyard. I can tell. Your guys' videos don't come off that way. It looks like big budget production stuff, like you had a team there and stuff.
Thanks, man.
People
We like
holding big
quality. We
reflective surfaces and stuff to get the shot right.
yeah.
Shit. That's what it looks like.
We definitely believe in quality. If we're going to create a product, it needs to be packaged well if we're going to sell it to others and get people, enjoying our product. And so making videos, printing CDs out correctly, like doing nice
Yeah.
jewel cases instead of slip cases, those little things, man, I've just throughout the years, because I used to live in Hollywood at one point, I was a film major and stuff. So I've used the last almost 20 years just like picking pieces, just
Yeah.
learning. And a lot of them say things like, if I've had a record executive say, asking the question, you get a lot of demos a day. How do you know which ones actually listened to and sift out? And they're like, honestly, we'll tell you right now, if anybody sends in like just a little paper slip case, they don't even look at it, they just throw it away. And I said, oh, that's harsh. Why? And she goes, if you don't care about your product, why in the fuck should I? I'm like, oh, okay. So
Absolutely.
I'm like, that's how I started thinking. It's just when we started doing this and printing out CDs or doing stuff, instead of just doing things half-assed, do it right, because you're gonna build a better audience that way, that likes to buy your product, likes to listen to your music, likes to pay tickets to come see your shows, and you just start building from there. But you gotta immediately take it seriously and care. And not do it half-assed. That's,
Exactly, because image, and especially people in the film world understand this, or should, if they do want. And I know I'm hearing people at home going, well, you can't just be totally image and no substance. And I'm not saying that at all. I'm not saying that at all. You can have all the greatest substance in the world, Beethoven, if you want, but you gotta get that people listening to it or watching it or whatever.
Bottom line, if you don't have the songs, man, none of it will work. No matter if it's the coolest band name in the world or the coolest logo, the coolest merch, or they're the coolest on stage, doesn't matter if they're good musicians or not. Some of the best musicians are terrible songwriters.
That's
But if you don't have the songs, man, there is no game to start.
true.
You got to at least have that piece on the board. We
Absolutely.
try our hardest to try to write a damn good song.
Well, you have to. You have to. I remember when I first hit, and when I was living in San Diego, I couldn't drive anymore. And this was before Uber. They still had taxis in those days. I guess they still do today. But I had a friend of mine who owned a limousine company, and he rented the limo out all the time. And so we came up with a deal where I would pay him a couple hundred bucks a month, and he would pick me up and drop me off wherever I needed to be in between his normal gigs. Sometimes I might have to wait an hour and a half before he was available. So it got to a point where I was going everywhere around town in a limousine all the time. And I needed paint.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
I need to go to the art store. Fucking limo would pull up in front of the art store. I would jump out looking like a weirdo, grab my canvas and paint, jump back in the limo, and off I went. And every kid at that art store had no idea that it was costing me $300 a month. You know what I mean? Which is, everybody's 300 bucks a month. That's pretty cheap if you consider car payments and insurance and shit. I was doing okay with that. But it was funny because the image that produced, I was, oh, he's selling blah blah, he's lighting cigars with $100 bills. No, I wasn't. But image will follow you. Image will follow you, and it's important. I agree with you in the slip. What do you call it? What do you call those? The slip CD case things. I've seen those around a lot. I have people send them to me.
It's cheap and efficient, and a lot of people don't know that's not a direction you should go. They're just looking at, hey, how do I get my music out physically? This is the cheapest route to go. It still shows the album cover. So, of course, it's sensible. I would have done the same thing had I not gotten that insight from somebody that you're trying to send your stuff to. So it's like just making those little bit of choices, though. It's telling yourself as a business, like, do I care about my product? Do I care about putting a couple more $100 down to get something better? Or do I just play it safe, spend what I got now, and hope for the
Absolutely.
best?
Absolutely. I was just having this conversation with somebody about business cards. And should I put, mine are all super nice and glossy and all this shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they're like, that's just more money to spend. I'm like, I think it's worth it for me.
Can't look at it that way.
But it's a different thing. When you're dealing with galleries, I want that gallery to know I'm at a certain place financially, so don't try to mess with me. You know what I mean? I'm not taking a 60-40 split on sales and shit. We might do an 80-20, but I don't have time for anything else. I don't know how it is in the music business. In the art business, you get all these amateurs that are like, pay attention to me, pay attention to my work. Dude, you know, look what I've done. And it's a pain. I know from what I've seen with me, not really though, not, I don't know. California is different because California, when you guys play venue, I don't know if in your area, I know in LA, this is the scene where you have to be responsible for X amount of tickets.
Yeah.
Whether they sell or not, somebody's buying those and you don't want it to be you. You know what I mean?
Yes. And it's shitty when you're a band that doesn't have a following and don't have the people that can buy all the tickets. But if you look at any major acts, anytime they're going anywhere, they're essentially renting that venue and hoping that ticket sales pay the bills that night. So the way we approach is that, hey, if you can sell out your tickets at one of those venues, then you're in a good spot because it's selling. And you're getting popular enough that people want to come to that venue and see you. And that takes a lot of work to make that happen. So it's a double-edged sword. It's, yeah, you do have to sell a bunch of tickets or you're paying for them. But on the other end of it, it's how much hustle do you have? And how good is your product to get the people in the seats and fill that venue up to where you're not responsible for the ticket sales?
Exactly. And I've seen your guys' live videos on YouTube. There you go. And folks, we have clickable links in the description below and everything.
That is the brutal truth.
All things Kings of Karma. definitely check out their YouTube. We're going to play some of the videos tonight, but I've seen some of your guys' live videos on there, and it ain't like you guys ain't playing to an empty room or anything. I doubt you'd put that on up anyway, but if that was the case, but they're full, and you guys are playing all the time. So venues are happy, and what that tells me is they're making money when Kings of Karma rolls in. So otherwise, they wouldn't have them back, you know?
Exactly. And
That's why we've had a 10-year career.
Yeah. Keep the venues happy. You have to.
It all revolves at the end of the day, regardless of how shitty it is to think about and however you feel about it, it all revolves around money. And I know like artists hate that concept. We're
Yeah, but
artists
it's.
at the core, we hate that fucking concept too, but that's the game, man. When you live in the world that revolves around the dollar, you got to do what you got to do.
Absolutely. And it's show business. A lot of
That's
people
right.
think that.
Show business, and that's the brutal truth.
Yeah, it's but you guys, it's like you were saying, Chris, it's so important to have the chops, the I hate the word product, but the art to back up all this, because it ain't gonna work if you don't. And you guys do have that. I know we're gonna be playing. I'll tell you what we have. This is what we have on deck. But you guys have a bunch of this stuff on YouTube that hasn't even. We got the newest one, Calls My Name, which I've been pushing out all week. But we
Thanks,
got a
man.
bunch on here. Them Wheels, you got Two Times, all kinds of stuff on here. Gummy Bears and Cigarettes. There's all kinds of stuff. And I have some tracks too we could play. What do you
Love
think we should hit people with first to introduce them? Let's say that somebody's in Zimbabwe, they've never heard of Kings of Karma. Let's introduce them.
Damn.
How do you guys want
What do you think? It's a tough one.
Kick him in the mouth?
Why not?
to go? Okay.
Not
Here
a bad
it
idea.
is. You win again?
Yeah, you win again.
You win again. Here it is, folks. Track number two off the latest album. You win again, Kings of Karma. Here it is. Check this out.
You down, yeah. 'Cause
And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. We are back. How about that? We moved. We just stayed in the exact same position. It's amazing. We were so transfixed by that track that we didn't even move. It's amazing. You win again. So I have to ask, because I'm married, I may or may not have said, I have definitely said this to my wife many times, every time. She's never wrong. She's never wrong. Was the inspiration that you guys wrote this track about, the person you wrote this track about, are they aware of it? And do they know?
The track's not necessarily about anybody in particular. It's just about anybody in that situation. We've all experienced it at some point of our lives. But it's just all experiences when you're in that kind of relationship. I have friends that, you know, and stuff like that. We know
bosses.
People. They're in
bosses,
uncomfortable yeah. relationships and stuff. So it's nothing like nobody's ever heard about. So it's just mostly a song just writing about just an experience that people can relate to.
And that's the cool thing is relatability. I know, pardon me, I need some more coffee. I know that with my paintings, when I paint something, I have an idea in my head on why I'm throwing that in the painting or why I'm doing this or why I'm doing that. And that's great for me. And I've had people look at that painting and go, "Ah, this really reminds me of this situation that happened to me. Totally different." You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, that's what art is. Everybody
interpretation.
Yeah, and I dig that. I'm like, wow. Now I'm looking at it in a different way as well. Or it could be this, or it could be that. And I think that's cool. I think that's cool. Let me ask you guys this. Now, you guys do have quite a good following and whatnot. When you go to play a place, it's, you know, you're going on stage. Here it comes. The night is starting and everybody's jamming and you look out in the audience and people singing your songs. And that's got to be the best feeling in the world, man, that people are digging what you're throwing down.
It's the greatest feeling in the world. And some when you could see somebody in the audience and you can see that they're lipping your chorus or whatever lyrics, and you're just like, dang.
Oh, I'm telling you.
I try my hardest to pay attention. Sometimes it's hard depending where you're at with certain lights in your face because everyone's a shadow. But if I could see people enough to where I could see that they're even just dancing, even if they're not singing the song, if I see people dancing to one of my songs, I'm like, did it.
Yeah,
that's all I need. Body movement awesome. Is enough.
You always hear the joke about poor old Mick Jagger. They're like, oh, the guy's however old it is, I'm sure it's old, but I don't know. But you always hear that joke, like he doesn't need the money. Why is he going on tour? Why is he on stage? Because he probably wants that feeling, you know what I mean? And that's probably why people OD on drugs and shit, because they're trying to get a shortcut to that feeling.
It's definitely a drug that's worth having, and that's any performance, big or small. When you have a band that's really good and you know your songs and it's just going to be a tight, wonderful show and you could really just work on crafting what you're going to do for the next couple hours and enjoying the fruits of your labor and you see everybody else doing the same, it's the greatest feeling in the world. It's the biggest high. No drug could compare to that.
Yeah, I can only imagine. I don't know a better way to put it. When you're in that, you're hitting that zone, no matter what you're doing. You're baking bread. If you get into that zone where you... It's a good place to be, man. It's a good place to be.
It's weird because it's like you're not there anymore for just a moment. You just really hit that just peak moment. You're just like, whoa.
My wife knows if we go on vacation, we live in Florida. So, of course, she grew up here. So she worships at the Temple of Disney. We go to Disney World a couple times a year. But if we go to Disney, she knows I'm only good for about 3 days max. Not because I'm sick of Mickey Mouse or anything, or eating too much food or whatever. I haven't been working and it starts to dry. I need that zone fix. I need to be doing something, maybe throwing a little flex in there once or twice. You got to do it. Yeah, but she learned. At first she didn't understand and now she gets it. But that's cool, man. That is cool. You guys obviously have been playing 15, almost 20 years now. It's got to be. Okay, guys. Let's just, what does this say? This is upgrade, running out of time. I'm going to close that. We're still recording, so I think we're good. it hasn't shut off on us. I'll cut all this out. But if it does, I'm going to.
We'll just restart one.
Yeah, we'll restart one.
Got it, bud.
Yeah, you guys, this is great. Throw me for a second. Let me ask you guys, because you obviously are good at this. And I have found no matter what you're doing, if you do it a lot, you get better at it. You know what I mean? Any athlete will tell you that. Any musician will tell you that. I've known phenomenal musicians, and they say, I'm like, how did you get that way? Were you just born that way? They're like, I might have had some talent to start with, but I practiced a lot. And I, same with your painting. People always ask me, they're like, I want to paint like you do. I'm like, 25 years. Oh, yeah.
Canvas, bro.
Draw 3 hours a day. That's what you got to do. There's no shortcuts. When you guys, when I hear your music and I see your videos and stuff like that, it's obvious you're serious. You got the chops. How long of a process is it? I know it probably varies from project to project, from piece to piece. But is it usually super involved, like a long period, or you have the idea for a track, a song, to where it's out and people can buy it? Is that an intense, long journey, or does it vary?
It depends. If it's kind of, it's the practice aspect. So anytime a song idea is coming to the stage or to the practice room, or anytime that we're getting ready to jam, getting ready to rehearse, we'll have song ideas going back and forth. We'll always take time to go and specifically spend time in the studio. Okay, let's go practice and rehearse these tracks until we have them down tight, and then we'll hit the studio. That way it's not a nightmare in the studio.
Yeah, we want to be productive, and we're really fast workers. So when we get in the studio, within 6-8 hours, you'll have an entire track.
If not more.
Yeah. Nice. So it's like, that's what we like, though. We like the studio is at least my favorite spot to be in. So it's, I'd rather be in the studio all the time instead of having to go out and stuff like that. But I just like to be prepared. I like to go in with purpose and not be like, we only got to guitars today for 8 hours. I guess we'll have to reschedule. So, come on, let's get this shit together.
No,
there used to be a time where bands put out literally a record a year. Every year there was a new record. What happened to that? Now it's like in your favorite band, it takes about 3 to 4 years for the next record to come out. So I miss that. I'd rather just be in the studio just pumping out albums.
It's true. It's true in all the different entertainment genres. I'm sure I haven't been the only one to get hooked on some TV series or something that I think's just awesome. And I watch the 10 episodes and then they're like, okay, we'll see you in a year and a half. And I'm like, a year and a half? Are you kidding me? But I look back and I think when I was a kid and I'd read comic books, that's what used to piss me off about comic books. I'm a real fast reader. I'd finish a comic book in a half an hour and I have to wait a month to see what happened. Did Superman get away? What's going on? That's crazy. That's crazy. But the cool thing, everybody bitches about technology, and I get it. Technology, like any tool, can be terrible. I did not need to know one of my aunts is a racist. Thanks, COVID. She started posting a lot. I really liked her. But anyway, the cool thing is you guys can put out a track and say, okay, here it is. Check this out. And people globally, you're not just putting that out to your little town or wherever. You're putting that out to the world, literally, and have fans in Spain or wherever, Nepal or someplace. You never know.
Argentina loves us.
Actually, Brazil is like second to the United States. They really like us down there.
Oh, yeah.
They're loving Bite the Bullet.
Because it's edgy. And that's, they're into that.
You could tell when, if you get a chance to actually listen to the whole record, it's 11 bangers, man. It's just, it's a great journey from start to finish. But you can definitely tell the influences we have and how records used to be done. And this select few were going to be on this record. And that's what that record is known for. So what album is that from? You know what I mean? And so we think about these things when we're putting a record, and what group of songs is going to be the group? And it's going to be known as this, because it's like an art piece. Each song is just a part, and the whole canvas is the album. So it's just which songs are going to create that piece of art. And that's how we've always tried to, even our first album, Chemical Sunsets, it's a journey. We want people to enjoy this journey. Like when you listen to Stones album, you hear slower songs, you
Absolutely.
hear the fast bangers, you hear a song that's out of their genre, but they can get away with it. So you
Oh,
just get a, you get an
that's how it
experience.
used to be. And you would, man, I would read liner notes and look at cool art on albums, and I was, it was a
Exactly.
whole immersive thing. Singles, I'm like, I want more, way more, and I want it now. But I remember, and there's certain albums that I remember the first time listening to. Nine Inch Nails, Pretty Hate Machine. I remember having this thought, and probably I voiced it to one of my friends and saying, I don't know how they're going to follow that up. Everything, start to finish, perfect. You know what I mean? How, what is, they did this out of the gate? You know, what's in store? And the second album dropped, and I remember being at the record store buying it and going, I don't know. I don't know. And then I got home and listened, and I'm like, I shit, it's even better. It's amazing. That's got to be cool, accomplishing. I mean, that's got, what a feeling. What a feeling. And yeah, folks, I get it. Singles are great. We let you can add them to your play, and you should add them to your playlist. And if you're young and you're making TikToks, put Kings of Karma behind it, because I don't have to hear that pretty little baby thing behind every TikTok my wife listens to now. I'd rather, much rather hear Kings of Karma behind it.
Yeah.
Hell
So yeah, get the word
yeah.
out.
You can go to our TikTok, and our music's posted on our
There
TikTok,
you
all of our
go.
albums. So go to our TikTok and listen to all of our music right then and there on our profile. It's all there.
See,
Shop.
they're young and hip. They know. I don't know. People are watching, who watch the show are like, where's your TikTok, Jane? This is a true story, everybody, and it will prove that I am an old man. I
Hey,
told
we
my
got into
wife, I
it.
said,
Why
this
not?
happened, I don't know, a month ago. I said, I want to start a TikTok. And she says, Jamie, you don't use a phone. You have to have a phone to have a TikTok. And I'm like, I got to buy a phone to do TikTok. I can't do it on the computer. She's like, no, old man, you can't. Yeah, no, I'm not buying a phone, folks. All I would do is keep that, and they're $1,000.
Don't do it, Jamie. Don't do it. Don't go down the rabbit hole we all went down and we can't get out of now.
I'm telling you. People are like, what do you have in the bathroom? Whatever paperback book I take with me. I'm an old man. I don't have that. It's very true. It's very true. But my
Like, I read
wife's
the
got a
back of
phone. If
medicine
somebody needs
bottle.
to get a hold of me, they can call her. That's usually how it works. But that's cool. So you guys have all this stuff. But you guys are young. You grew up with phones. You probably got your first phone when you went to that Black Sabbath show. You probably had a phone in your pocket, I
Yeah,
would.
we're from 1990, man. So we were those first guinea pig kids with the internet.
I gotcha. I yeah.
I still remember ruining our family computer with LimeWire burning CDs all day. So,
I might have done that too. I might have done that
oh, my
too.
mom hated us. Oh
Oh.
God. Things we did to that computer. Poor
Yeah,
thing.
it was a problem, folks. It was that was
So
not
many viruses.
Jesus Christ.
Now McAfee's got your back, and they remind
Yeah.
you.
True. It's very true. It's amazing. Okay, we've got less than a minute, it's saying. So we're going to end this right here, and then we're going to do part two. So I am going
After
to,
this commercial break.
this is a commercial. Here we go. So yeah, we were talking. It's very cool that you guys are at the point that you're at, but I'm sure it hasn't just all been rainbows and sunshine and whatnot. A lot of work, and with any project, there's peaks and valleys. You know what I mean? Things happen, at least for all the bands I've known. You guys got through it though, because you did you have that clear-cut vision at the beginning? And you said, this is the goal, this is what we're gonna do. Come hell or high water, this is happening.
It was back then, and even this morning when we woke up, it still is.
Nice.
Definitely.
I was just re-watching that movie, The Martian, the other day. And you could tell that guy, you know, the guy that got stranded on Mars and they left him there. And then he has a rough first night and he's, I'm not going to die here. I'm not going to die. I'm going to make this happen. I think with anything, you have to have that attitude if you want it. At least all the successful people I've ever known all have that in common. That's amazing. So let's play another video. We've got another track, whatever, whichever one you guys want to do. What should we do next? What should we do next?
How many tracks are you playing?
We can do four.
Oh, okay. All right. So, Sugar Mama is like it's one of the songs we're gonna start using as another single, also. But Sugar Mama was a fun song. It's a fun song to listen to. You got the groove, you got the hooks, you got the catchy chorus. The
Nice.
lyrics are hilarious.
Okay, let me just write it down
I
here.
still have it.
Okay, everybody, here it is. Kings of Karma, this is Sugar Mama. And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. We are back. Now, let me ask you guys, Chris and Joe, all these tracks that we're playing tonight, these are all available, right? People can get these.
All available.
Nice.
Anywhere you can find music, it's there.
There you go. There you go. How cool is that? That's a long way from LimeWire, but oh, it's true. It's true. Let me ask you, no, you guys are real good. You have a social media footprint platform wide. You're on everything, I think. The first 2 hours of my day, well, I usually have an hour to get my shit together. Then it's after that, the next 2 hours are all social media based. I do my blog, I do all that stuff in the morning. Are you guys on social media? Do you have a 14-year-old with a cell phone that does all that for you? That's my dream, is to not have to do any of it, but
Of course, that's everyone's dream. No, that's it's us.
okay. It's got to be cool having these people digging your art from all over. I
Course.
like that about the internet now. I got to ship two paintings to San Francisco tomorrow.
Yeah.
That wouldn't happen setting up shop at the local art walk. It might, but it's nice consistently when it does. That's cool. That's cool. I'm glad to hear I'm not alone in the social media whirlwind of getting stuff out and liking things, and
Yeah.
it's crazy. It's crazy. I
No, it's not my favorite part of the job.
No, but there's with any job, there's shit aspects of any job. You know what I mean? I think cake testers probably get sick of, I don't know if I can do it today. I'm sick of tasting cake.
Yeah.
It's just part of it. It's part of not everything can be playing live on stage.
It's one of the sayings that has to get done, so you can either bitch about it or just do it. And
Yeah.
try to be good at it.
Well, that's what my dad used to tell me too when I would bitch about it. He was like, sometimes you got to have the garbage if you want the gravy. That's just how,
That's
whatever
life.
form of the day and get it done. Bitching about it ain't getting it done any quicker. You're just in a bad mood now.
Yeah.
So that's cool. Now, Joe, you play bass. Chris, you're a guitar player, lead vocals. Is there certain equipment? Let me ask a better question. A better question. Now, you started at some point. There was that first bass guitar. Do you still have it, or is it a fond memory?
I still have it.
Nice.
I still have it. It's in the closet somewhere, but it's still hanging around.
There you go. There you go. Do you, as a non-guitar player, you talk to guitar players and they're like, I like the tone of my Fender here and compared to whatever. As someone that's not trained, I don't have that ear. To me, it all just sounds like a guitar. You know what I mean? I don't hear that nuance. But I imagine you probably both do. And you probably hear the nuance not only with your instruments or your music, but in others as well.
The biggest difference between bass and guitar is I can guarantee probably like 75 to 80% of recordings are done with one bass, and that's a Fender P bass.
I gotcha. Okay.
It's from way back in the day to today. It's a
Works.
very, it just has the tone that fits perfect in the mix, and a lot of guys prefer it. But once the 70s and 80s and the 90s start rolling around, you start getting more of the boutique companies, especially nowadays. Nowadays, you'll never, it's hard to tell what's on a track,
I
but
gotcha.
there are some telltale signs that, oh yeah, it's definitely a P bass, or like with guitar, Telecasters have been recorded on so many great songs over history. I can tell on a record if somebody's using a Gibson or a Fender. I could tell by the guitar tones and stuff if somebody's using like a Telly compared to a Les Paul. So it just comes with experience. When you dive into something as a child and it becomes your everyday thing until you're now an
Superpower.
adult, and it still is, it's just a superpower that everybody just immediately, eventually will gain.
I got
And
you.
what I've noticed is that it depends on your genre of music too, man. It's like with the type of rock that we play, you can tell there's usually pretty big nuances between what guitar is being played. So you can tell, oh, that track's definitely a Les Paul versus the other track was a Telly. With a lot of what, like popper, like bands like Spirit Box, because it's so distorted and heavy, it's more than likely they're going to be using like an Ibanez or like a Dingwall or
whatever instrument or whatever companies make extended scale instruments that they can achieve that tone. And then also with, like you're saying earlier, how technology is a tool, could be bad or good. With some modern tracks, it's hard to tell the difference between just the tracks themselves, because they'll hear someone produce one way and then everyone will try to emulate it. And then you're listening to eight different bands, but every band has the same production. So it's hard to tell which band's which.
I see people try to do that. They chase algorithms, I think. They're like sleep tokens, popular right now or whatever. What, it doesn't matter. Taylor Swift. So I want to get on the algorithms that she's on. So I better make a track that's similar to what she does. And it's, I don't know if that's such a good, it's great because it's exposure, but at the same time, all these bands, you're right, wind up sounding the same to me, but I'm not an expert in that. I'm just an audience listener. It's crazy, but I don't see that with you guys. Now, your guys' music sounds classic. I don't want the people to confuse that and get it wrong in that it doesn't sound dated. It doesn't sound, you guys aren't, oh, what's their name? Greta Van Fleet out of Detroit. It's, oh, these guys are trying this. We all know who they're trying to sound like and everything. I'm saying, I'm not putting it down. I'm telling you.
No, I agree with you. I know.
I was at a birthday barbecue. And this was probably a year ago. And it was people older than me. I was probably the youngest person there. But it was all these middle-aged women that had a couple cocktails. And they suddenly turned back into all the girls I went to high school with. You know what I mean? They just reverted back. And I'm sure that booze was involved in that. And they had their playlists. And I'm like, really? We're hearing Bon Jovi, you know, where he's on his steel Harley or whatever. I can't remember the name of the song, but for this eighth time tonight. But because they liked that, you know. And then they got on the subject of Greta Van Fleet. And you would have. They were like 12-year-old girls geeking out at this stuff. Like I was at a Beatles show or something. I'm like, Jesus, first off, these could all be your grandkids, but I'm glad you're into it. Whatever. I'm not putting anybody down. I'm saying,
yeah,
find your audience, folks, because they're out there. 8 billion people. 100%.
I would say with our music, this is what I usually say, is because obviously there's a classic influence. I'm an old soul, so... My number one favorite band of all time is the Beatles. I wouldn't be sitting here talking to you if it wasn't for them. Led Zeppelin, you can hear it in my voice. You can hear all the influence of ours. We're just, I don't like to call our music classic rock because I don't even like to call it classic rock. I don't like right. that word for all my favorite music, but it's modern vintage, man. I like to say our music's original, but familiar.
It is. And that's a good way to put it.
Without trying to rip off, we're just showing off what made us want to pick up an instrument in the first place and even write a song to begin with.
Well, that's what I think is great. One of the things I think is sadly lacking in the contemporary, as it is today, lay of the land musically, is there's not, from what I am used to, how I grew up, there was always a rock influence in every decade. Yeah, I was listening to the Human League and shit in the 80s and Depeche Mode and stuff, but I could turn the radio dial slightly and it was rock and roll, without a doubt. And I'm not saying, it just surprises me that I don't get that experience today. And I don't
know. You're starting to, though. And as much as I don't listen to a lot of Greta Van Fleet, and regardless of what people say about them sounding like Led Zeppelin and stuff, they're the ones who opened that door to bring rock and roll back. And in the last 5 years, we've seen rock and roll come back. Now you got Dirty Honey. You got an awesome band I like called the band Feel. They're starting to come up in the industry. You got a lot of cool rock bands coming back, and they're all bringing something classic from the past into their own music. And some people are like, oh, they sound like Led Zeppelin. It's their music, but yeah, they got that kind of Zeppelin sound, but we all fucking love Led Zeppelin.
Yeah, exactly. There's a reason Led Zeppelin's Led Zeppelin.
Exactly. So I say for all of us, it's good to have all these bands bringing back something, because it obviously gets everyone's attention, because it's something that they already have always liked, but it's a new version of it, and everyone's always into it. But you'll hear it in our music, too. I'm not going to say at all that nothing was an influence, because you can hear it.
But the cool thing is it's getting people... You mentioned before relatability. It's getting people into the venue. When you guys play somewhere, people are buying tickets. They're paying that cover charge. You know what I mean? Obviously, they're into it. And there's something that's different about a good rock show. You're not going to see it. I don't know. Maybe energy-wise, maybe a big trance show at some festival in, I don't know, Leningrad or someplace. But you might see that it's a... But I'm talking a local rock club in or bar in your area. You go see some band on a Friday night. It's going to be a good time. You know, I'm not saying every band is wonderful. I'm saying you're going to have fun. And if you got a gal, take her. She's going to have fun too.
And that's what we did for years, man. All the play, because we're from Temecula. We got to have all the wineries and Old Town and all the, it's a music scene down there. So it's like, there's a lot of places to play and clubs and theaters and stuff like that, and you're playing for a few hundred people all the time. So we spent years perfecting our entertainer factor kind of craft and seeing how we can be with an audience and stuff like that and learn how to be entertainers and show off. And we used years of working our ass off playing 3-4 hour sets, playing covers and trying to fit our music in there and stuff like that. It's a journey, but it's a hustle. You got to do it every night and work for no money and eventually get better pay, better gear. As long as you're always moving forward and progressing, where it's, oh, now they're paying us more. Now we're getting a better venue. And each thing is a step. So when you're getting there, that means you're gaining traction. And our job has always been, I would tell every bar owner or any place we used to play and tell them, look, our job is to keep people here drinking and dancing. And if we ain't doing our job, then you shouldn't have us here. You know what I mean? So it's just, you want them to buy drinks all night, but they need to want to buy drinks all night. So are you going to be that thing?
Yeah.
So we always try to just make it a good time, be crazy, get people so infatuated.
In any business, you have to learn, and it takes experience to finally get this to click. Some people it never does. You got to be a good hang. You got to be a good hang. And if that means going a little extra once in a while, then you go a little extra. You know what I mean? You can't be a drag to be around. Otherwise, nobody's going to want to be around you. That's just, and I don't care what business that is. That's just the name of the game. One of the great things about you guys is you guys are cool. You have that down.
We try.
You're probably like me. You have off days where you're like, Jesus Christ, you know.
We're human.
Yeah,
like everyone's human, man. Can't be great hang all the time. Just 95% of the time.
But when you're working, you got to be.
You got to be. You can't. Some people could be shy and interesting and stuff. But to me, man, it's networking, creating relationships. And if you want people to hang around and listen to you for the next 60 years.
Shy doesn't work anymore.
You can't be shy, man. You got to be personable. And I work in sales and stuff like that. So it's just, you have to just. Got to be a people person, whether you want to be or not. That's, they don't care about that. Like when you go somewhere and one of your idols happen to be in the same grocery store and you're like, holy shit, it's that person. You want to go, hopefully, if you could just say hello, not trying to get anything from them, but just a simple, I fucking love you, sorry to bother you kind of thing. Just to get a simple acknowledgement. We all geek about those kind of moments with somebody we admire. So it's just like, you hope that the person you're meeting is not going to be a dick and they're going to be somebody like, dude, he was so cool.
Right.
So I don't want to become that guy where it's just like, hey, look at it's Chris Gaines drinking his karma. I'd be like, fuck off. I don't want to be that guy. So it's like, you have to, people are going to want to come talk to you and say things to you and you have to just be nice and professional about it.
I turned into that guy for 3 days. And I went and saw a good friend of mine. He's OG punk rock. I don't want to say who it is, but they were playing in Oceanside at the Belly Up. And so we went up there, saw the show, went, got to go backstage and all that, of course. We're friends. And I had hit a little bit before, had a little money in my pocket, and I was turning into a douchebag, honestly. And his wife called me the next day. And I was hungover. And she goes, such and such is disappointed in what he saw last night. And I said, I remember last night in waves. What happened? What did I do? It was one of those periods of my life. And she said, she goes, "You asked a waitress if she knew who you were." And I was mortified. I was mortified. Went to my first AA meeting that afternoon after that conversation on the phone, and my first and only AA meeting, but I course corrected quickly after. I was so embarrassed, you know what I mean? And not because I had disappointed a friend, I didn't want to be that because I'd seen, like
Yeah, check
you.
yourself.
Yeah, I checked my, I
There's nothing.
needed to
There's
be
nothing
checked.
wrong with
Tell
that,
before you wrecked yourself.
and there's nothing wrong with that. It takes a lot to have
It's all about awareness. As long as
self-awareness.
self-awareness is the biggest tool, once you have that, you can fix anything.
Exactly. And
To any of the kids that might be listening, take this as a story to don't try to act like a rock star before you are one.
yeah,
Yeah,
exactly.
you'll go down smooth as
That's the
that.
best. That needs to be a pen.
That's the brutal truth.
That is very true. And it doesn't
Get
get more true.
the songs
Yeah, you got to pay your dues a little bit too, I will say, I would add. It's
but never stops. Yeah, we've come a long way from 10 years ago, but we're still
there's
paying
hope.
dues every day.
Oh yeah, the
Keep
goalpost
going.
just moves. You think you've run the ball down the field, and then you look up for a second, and you're like, oh shit, there's a whole nother field ahead of me now. You know what I mean? With
Never
double the
stops.
problems and double the shit, and that hit.
I always tell people, because I even tried to be in the film industry for a little bit. That's a hard ass business also, not only the music industry. I picked plan A and plan B to be the worst two
The most
job
expensive art
scenarios to get
world there
into.
are, right there.
You
No.
can already hear the disappointment from my father.
Yeah.
But
I was gonna say, not your mom.
damn. But yeah, so
It's
oh,
so true. It is so. When I remember my father and I was a teen, and we had this conversation, and what do you want to do when you grow up? I'm like, I'm gonna be Picasso. I'm gonna be the next Picasso. Done deal, man. Done deal. And he goes, I hope that works for you. He goes, I think we need to get you in some drafting classes and you can make a pretty good living. We lived in Detroit, so it was all automotive. He goes, you can make some pretty good money drawing cars. You're pretty good at that. I'm like, I'm not doing that. I'm not, you're in the automotive. No, I'm going to be living in New York and Paris. And that was my plan. And he passed in 2015. But fast forward, one of my biggest collectors is some ultra rich guy in the Pacific Northwest, who, for fun, this is how much money this guy has. He collects vintage race cars. There's only
Oh.
nine of this Lotus in existence, and I have three of them. You know what I mean? And it's a big airplane hangar. They're just full of these really expensive, fancy cars. And he has hired me, and this has been an ongoing project since 2015, to paint them all. He gets a painting, puts a little easel in front of the car in the airplane hangar, and for whatever reason, he's happy with that. So I think about that conversation a lot because my father's somewhere in the world hanging out with Ozzy now and
Nice.
laughing his ass off because what am I doing? I'm drawing cars. Exactly what he
Damn.
said. You know, the old man knew, and I'm happy to do it. Happy for the work.
If
But
you're good at
yeah.
something, never do it for free.
Exactly. It's cool. And I know a lot of people want to get to a point because I have people tell me all the time, they're like, I want to do what you're doing. I want to sit around and paint all day. I'm like, yeah, so do I, man. So do I. Out of a 16-hour day, I'm lucky if I paint 3 or 4 hours. That's a good day. The rest of the time's social media, on the phone, writing emails, doing this, doing that, getting bootleg shit taken off of Amazon of shower curtains with my paint. I do that twice a week. It's just a lot of nonsense that you got to do in whatever job you got, whatever you're trying to do creatively. But that is the dream of everybody. But even if you achieve it, like we were saying, that you still got a full football field. It's just different now ahead of you.
Yeah.
Then you guys, let me ask you this is personal. We can go to next topic if need be. You guys got families and stuff like that?
Of course.
See,
Yep.
I am lucky that I don't. We didn't go that route, so I don't have that added pressure. I couldn't even imagine how you guys do it, because
Well, I have my own Sharon Osbourne, so she
there
makes
you
it
go.
possible. Yeah, when you have the support at home, it helps ease, especially because
picking a partner in life, you want to pick someone that's going to be down for the ride.
Because this isn't being a being involved with a musician, especially an active one. It's
It's
not an
not
easy
easy at
lifestyle,
all.
especially one that's has, you know, aspirations to go forward with it and not just be kind of like a cover band thing on the weekend, but like an
Right,
actual
wedding
full-time
band.
job, traveling and stuff like that. Yeah, it's a crazy commitment, but.
And especially these guys are artists that sometimes artists are not the easiest people to hang out with. You know what I mean? They get caught up in their own shit, in their own head. They can be grouchy, I dare say. Yeah, I don't want to be Jack Torrance in The Shining when Wendy comes in and bugs him when he's trying to type his Psycho book, but I watched that movie and I understand where he's coming from. COVID taught me that. COVID, the pandemic, people always ask, they ask me, they're like, was it hard for you? I'm like, no, man, that's, I work from home. Are you kidding me? That's what was hard is my wife does not. And suddenly she was home and we had to institute some rule. Okay, when the studio door is closed, I need some space in here. I'm trying to figure something out. And she was cool with it. God bless her, but probably cooler than I would have been. But now I get it. I get it. Yeah. So, any of you out there, you're looking for your partner in life, look real close to Adam. You know what I mean? And be honest with them so they can look real close at you because they may not want to. You're dropping a new album or something. The last thing you want to do is deal with is a bunch of relationship shit or a divorce or some shit. You know what I mean? You got enough stuff going on. So avoid those pitfalls when you can. And keep an eye on your money. That's my other, I don't care what business you're in. Your money. You guys live in California, so you've heard the horror stories from the old timers and stuff that didn't do that. And yeah.
Their stories, this those paths they all had to pay so we could learn from them and not.
Exactly.
We've made tons of financial mistakes and we've had to learn our own lessons, but I, because I'm a historian and I study all these bands and producers and stuff like that, I try to take notes like, okay, don't fucking do that because then that happens. Saddest
Exactly.
story in the rock history is probably Badfinger, man. It's the saddest fucking story in the world. Go watch that documentary. You'll be like, what the fuck?
It's all crazy. I just, the latest one I watched was the Police recording Synchronicity. They're having fist fights in the studio and shit over hi-hats and stuff. I'm like, you guys got a gazillion dollars, man. Pull it together and get it $2 gazillion before you part ways. Shit. Easier said than done. I wasn't there. But maybe that
Right.
hi hat did sound terrible. I don't know. But it's weird. It's weird. Music's crazy. Music's crazy. I'll tell you that producing is hard. I started watching all these videos about music production. I'm not even in the music biz. That's hard. You got to know your shit, especially back in the day.
It's like being a musician. It's just as an important of a job as the drummer or the guitarist. Same thing with the engineer. Like the guys that we work with that did Bite the Bullet. Matt Spitzal is a great producer and artist, and our engineer and co-producer, David Mills, an amazing artist, and he's an amazing engineer. We call him the wizard. But you could hear on the album like how great production is, and we didn't want to go half-ass. Like crispy ass drums that are big and fat. Tone is there, like just quality, man. And we worked with guys that cared about our songs and cared about making sure this came out quality. So when you have a team that all has the same exact goal and everyone's attacking it, and you got inspiration just bouncing off the walls and accidents are happening. Oh no, keep that. Holy shit, what was that? You get all those kind of moments, you're creating all these great things, and then you have a great product to give people. And we love Bite the Bullet. It's a great product.
The great thing is you, like you said, work with the best. You, that's the results you get usually. That's amazing. That's amazing. It's very cool to find that though, to find, and you know what? My advice, I've never been in your guys' position. I've never, I'm sure this has happened in the world where somebody met with a producer and said, I don't think this is gonna work. We're not meeting up correctly.
Of
No, and
course.
nobody's making, we're not getting on the same page. find
That's
someone
when you go
to
back to the drawing board.
yeah.
When you get
Next.
that note, you know what I mean? If they're not stoked and hooked, then you already know you have to go back to the drawing board, and maybe next time around you'll catch somebody's attention. But that's the kind of gut-wrenching reality of this business that I tell people all the time. If you don't have the stomach for any art industry, don't get into it, because you'll be let down more than you will win,
We have
you
a friend
know?
of ours who's a she's been a writer forever, and she finally got picked up and got her book published by, not self-published, but like by a real publishing house and all this shit and everything. But before that happened, she was getting a lot of rejection letters. And oh, I thought she was, because she was really down. We all went to Cracker Barrel for dinner, and this couple we know. And I said, I don't want to say what her name is, but I asked her, I said, what's got you so long face? What's happening? She goes, I got my third rejection letter. And I'm like, third? Oh my God, it must be nice. You know what I mean? Were they mean? Did they call you names? Was it interesting? She goes, no, they were very polite. They're just not interested in my work. I'm like, sweetie, you got to toughen this skin up a little bit. You're in the
Yeah.
arts now.
It's gonna happen. That's the journey, though.
Be
Yeah.
happy if you get one acceptance letter out of 100. That's what you got to be stoked on. The little
Exactly.
wins.
Exactly. We all saw, have seen, you're a Beatles fan. I'm sure you've seen it, that I can't remember the guy's name, but I don't think we're interested. I don't think this is gonna go anywhere. Jesus Christ. I'm sure that guy got pissed off.
That's happened a lot in the music industry. For instance, like Meatloaf, when they were working on Bat Outta Hell, Jim Steinman and Meatloaf would go to all the record companies and play them to them in the meeting, like the concept of Bat Outta Hell, and they would laugh them out and be like, hell no, this sucks, it's never gonna do anything.
Two,
And Todd
two.
Rundgren was the only person who was just like, no, I see what you guys are trying to do. I can see the vision. I have a recording studio in my basement. I'll record your album. And he did Bat Outta Hell in his basement, and holy shit, now we got Bat Outta Hell. What a great fucking album that
Swimming
was.
pools
And
were bought after.
every single record exec that turned them down kicked themselves in the ass and got
Oh,
in
yeah.
line. Got in line. We've seen that story a thousand times.
Oh,
It's
yeah.
part of it.
You gotta just
I
keep
always.
throwing shit at the wall too. You gotta find what work and find your audience, and somebody out there is gonna, if you think nobody's digging your stuff, like I said, 8 billion people on the planet. You just gotta find the ones that do dig it. That's the challenge. Work on your Instagram game. I don't
We're still learning that game, man. I get it. It's a daily hustle.
It really is. It really is. What should be the, we got a little bit of time here. What should be the next? I guess we're gonna probably end it out. We've got the Giving Cup, gummy bears, and cigarettes, and
Rules.
I guess that's what we got. What should we play?
Does it help you?
Do you have Cut You Loose?
I do. It's on YouTube. Yeah, I got it. I'm not saying where I got it from, but I'm just saying I got it.
No, why not? All right, we're gonna end it with Cut You Loose.
Cut You Loose. This is a, let me ask you before you play it, because I love the video for it. Do you guys figure all that shit out too? Do you storyboard it out and all, this is what we're gonna
Yeah,
do in the video? And
we have business meetings, and we talk about what's coming up, what we need to get done.
I
We
gotcha.
strategize. And okay, we have this in the next few weeks. We're doing a music video for Gummy Bears and Cigarettes. That will be coming out soon. So yeah, we'll sit and talk about the idea, what we're going to do and how we're going to pay for it and who's doing this and who's
The
doing.
cool thing
We're
about
pretty
that
much
is
the
I love
entire
that
team.
track, and that means the next time you guys are on, we'll be able to play that one. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
Here it is, everybody. Kings of Karma, Cut You Loose.
Said you got heartache, well, I've got mine too. just want you. And I won't beg, even if I fall from you. And I won't beg. So I guess I'm gonna cut you loose. Yeah. And you've been talking, but words don't seem to work. And you've been.
And we're back. That was, yeah, Cut You Loose. Cut You Loose. I really like it.
Great song.
That's got to be a good feeling, though. Get you out of bed in the morning. You guys got the coolest job in the world. Really?
Look, you're all the way in Florida, and here we are having a conversation with you about it. That's so cool. It is so freaking cool, man.
Absolutely. And it's crazy. Like I said, I used to live in Southern California. This was 15 years ago, but man, I wish I would have met you guys then, because I knew so many venue owners, and that was way pre-COVID and all. And the nightclub world, too, venue world, if you will, that changes pretty quick. Things get sold, things happen. But you guys are on the pulse of it. You guys are doing just fine, getting gigs.
Yeah, we have the Whiskey A Go-Go coming up. next month. We have the Holding Company in San Diego coming up. We have the District next weekend in Redlands. It's a cool spot. It's Temecula, all over the place. And then we're going to be, now that Bite the Bullet's out so we can go promote it, we're going to be leaving state this fall and trying to get out and around, man.
You got
a product. You got to go move that shit now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's so true. And people always ask me, they're like, you have these cool bands on. Where's the best place to buy their music? Of course, streaming's great. I get it. If you're in Portugal or something, you can't get to a show, use a streaming site to get it. But if you're local, go to the show. Go to the merch table. You know what
I
mean?
And you don't want to miss us. We are nuts on stage. There's no standing around. There's a lot of hair everywhere.
That's awesome.
A lot of hair.
That's awesome. I love shows like that. I've seen shows that weren't that, and they're not so much fun. But you guys, from what I've seen and talking to you and everything, I would go to a show. Absolutely. Absolutely. You
maybe, guys, our management's in Florida, so maybe we should be coming out to Florida to do some shows.
Curtain Call is great because it's so funny. I saw a lot of paintings to nightclubs and stuff all over the place. I was talking to somebody. They were in Oklahoma City for this big club there. And they asked, they're like, you ever heard of Curtain Call? I'm like, yeah, man, I talk to them every other day. Are you kidding me? Usually every day. But they know everybody. They know. I had the same thing happen to somebody in Prague. It's crazy.
Yeah, they're definitely reaching out a lot.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Cool group. And they do a lot of festival type stuff too, I noticed. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we're going to be doing a lot of more of that next year. Because when we got together with them, it was already more than halfway through the year.
Right.
We're the booking agent, so it's like we book a year in advance kind of thing.
Hey, everybody. Pop art painter Jamie Rocks here. This is actually Jamie in editor mode. Yeah, the show ended. That was the point where our Zoom meeting ended. The thing is, with Zoom, I like it. It's a great program. But for the free version of Zoom, which is the one we use, you have a limited time. You have a half hour. It's 30 or 40 minutes. I can't remember. But yeah, there's a limited time, and then it'll end, it'll cut off on you, and then you have to convert everything, download it. It's a process. It takes about 10 minutes, and then after you do that, you can start another block of time, and then you just put them all together in editing and whatnot. That's normally what we do. However, last night we were at the end of this episode, we were at the end of it anyway, and getting ready to say our goodbyes and sign off and whatnot. So I just told the guys that I would throw something together. Here it is. Here it is. Amazing. No, but they wanted me to make sure to thank everybody for listening and watching and to definitely check their music out. It's phenomenal. I really like this band. I like both Chris and Joe a lot. They're just some really cool guys, and their musicianship is amazing. They are a good rock band, but also very diverse in what they do. And I think we really showcased that on tonight's episode. I'm very pleased with it. So very cool. Hey, remember, when you find a cool band that you like, folks, let your friends know. Put the word out. Share the love a little bit, because the whole reason you're friends with people is you guys have common interests and whatnot. Chances are real good they're going to dig what you dig. That's just the way it is. So definitely share the love. Spread the word when you find somebody that you really think is a good artist. Very cool. Hey, I'm going to get back to work now and finish this up so I can get it uploaded to all the platforms. Thank you guys for listening and watching and all you do and whatnot. Man, I don't want to give specific numbers, but I will. I was just looking at a report the other day. Since we've been doing the show in video also, and I haven't advertised at all on any of the episodes, but our merch, and so maybe it's something else, but I don't think so. Our merch store is getting a ton more traffic. They already got a lot anyway, but it's definitely, I was looking at the numbers going, wow, something's working. But yeah, this is me on a non-show day. I don't know, haven't even shaved today. Anyway, working from home is great. That's one of the perks, baby. That's one of the perks. Anyway, we'll see you guys next time. Be cool. Remember, the world's still a weird place. Be kind. Be patient with people. And we'll all get through it together. And we'll see you next time. Have a good one, everybody. Bye.
This has been pop art painter Jamie Rocks's Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. It has been executive produced by Jamie Rocks, recorded at his studio in Deerfield Beach in South Florida. All rights reserved by Pop Rocks Limited.
Hola, Oli, Pop Rocks Radio. Estás escuchando Jamie Rocks de Pop Rocks Radio. Manténganse al tanto.
Hej, det här är Hicks från Sverige och ni lyssnar till Pop Rocks Radio med Jamie Rocks.